The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
Good evening, everyone. In Parashas Bishalach, Perek Yud Dalet. We have the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the Red Sea, which was a paramount feature, if not the paramount feature, in Ayitzis Mitzrayim, in the Exodus. The Torah tells us in Posuk He, Vayugad lamelech Mitzrayim kivorach ha'om. It was told to the king of Egypt that the nation has fled. And Paro's heart and that of his servants changed. What is this that we have done, that we have sent Israel away from their servitude? And he harnessed his chariot, and he took his nation, and they went after them. And he took 600 of his best chariots, and all of the chariots of Egypt, and with captains on all of them. And Hashem hardened the heart of Pare, the king of Egypt, by Yudav Acharei B'nei Yisrael. And he pursued after the Bnei Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael yotzim biyod ramo. And the Bnei Yisrael went out with a mighty hand. Rashi tells us that this took place, Ikturian Shalachimohem. They left on the 15th, in the morning of the 15th of Nisan, that evening, the eve of the 15th of Nisan, that was the Makas Bechoris, the smiting of the firstborn. But Pare had sent scouts with them, because they said they were leaving only for 3 days, they would return. Once the scouts saw that the 3 days were up and they are not returning, they went back on the fourth day to Pare to tell him. So this took place on the fifth and sixth day after the 15th of Nisan. This would be the fifth and the sixth day of Pesach. And they pursued after them. The Lil Shvi Yodulayam. And then the eve of the seventh day, the Klal Yisrael went into the sea, and that's when the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea, took place. B'shachris, in the morning, is when all of the Egyptians were destroyed. Omru Shira, they said the Shira, the song of the sea. B'yem Shvi Shel Pesach, that's the seventh day of Pesach. L'chein onukerin Ashira B'yem Ashvi, and that's why we read every seventh day of Pesach, we read the Osho Shir Maisha, the Shiras Hayam, the song of the sea. There's a Medrash. The Medrash might be here or in other places. It's a Medrash Rabbah, which states, asks the question, it's an obvious question, as to Moshe consistently asked Pare to let his people go, Melech, we will go out 3 days into the desert because we want to sacrifice to Hashem. And this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him to do. Why did he keep telling them we're going away for 3 days? That wasn't the plan at all. The plan is that we're going away forever. So the Medrash answers, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges people in accordance to the way they act to others. B'midah shemeidedin, bo meidedin lay. And Parai enslaved the people, and he was gezer, he decreed on them, Kol habein hayelod hayorah tashlichuhu, that every child, male child that is born, you should throw them into the river. He judged the people with water. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to judge him in water. He wanted to destroy him in the water. How was he going to get him to the water? In this way, that if he would tell, if he would have had Moshe tell Pare that we're going out forever, and eventually Pare would have had to relinquish, then he wouldn't have pursued them. But now that he said Moshe said for three days, when Pare saw that they're not keeping their words, his heart changed and he decided to pursue him. And this brought Pare and all of his people, his armies, to the sea. Therefore, this was taking place on the fourth day, the fifth and the sixth, and the eve of the seventh, they came to the sea. In Pasuk Tes, Vayudafu Mitzrayim Achareihem, Vayasigu Esam Chonim Alayom. Mitzrayim pursued after them, and they caught up with them, and they were camping on the sea. Kol Sus Rechav Parayev Horoshev Vachelai. And all of the horses, the chariots of Paray, the riders, the captains, his armies, Al Pi Achireis Livnei Baal Tzafon, it was at this certain place, Ufarei Hikriv, Pare led his armies against them. Klal Yisrael looked up. Egypt was coming down upon them. And they were very afraid, because in front of them was the raging sea. Behind them was Pare. To both sides was the midbar, the desert. And they cried out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In Pasuk Yud Dalet, it states, excuse me, it's not Pasuk Yud Dalet. Pasuk Tes Vov. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Mati tzak Eloi. Moshe started to be mispalo to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem said, why are you crying out to me? Daber el b'nei Yisrael, b'yisou. Speak to the children of Israel and go forward. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do things for people. When it comes to great acts, or any good acts, because then it'll be his act, not the act of the people. Rather, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings opportunities to people. If they choose to fulfill the opportunity, then it's good. If they don't, then they have failed. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu does. And therefore, here he was bringing Klal Yisrael to the sea. And Moshe was being mispalo. Nothing was being done. So he said, Mati tzak Eloi, why are you crying to me? Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisou. Speak to Klal Yisrael and tell them to go. They'll have to cross the sea. When people choose to do the right thing, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them. It states, Abol Letaher, Messiah, I say. Someone chooses to do what's right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help them. But he will not do it for them. He'll never do it for them. Because then it's not your mitzvah, it's his mitzvah. He wants the acts of B'nai Odom, of people. So he will bring them into a situation, but they will have to do it. So, Matitzak Eli, why are you crying out to me? Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisol. Tell the people to go. If they're not going to go, I'm not going to carry them across the sea. This is a great principle in life. Kodesh Baruch Hu brings opportunities to people. They must be very careful not to lose opportunities. And these are what is known as a mokam nisgadalboy. He brings the opportunity to a person to do something great. But the doing of it, that he leaves to the person. If he wants to do it, then states HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help him. If he does not want to do it, or if he wants to do evil, he will not help him do it, but Peschim, he will allow him to do it. So one must not think these are in the hands of Hashem. It's just to the contrary. Hakol bidei shamayim, chutz meyirei shamayim. Everything else might be in the hands of Hashem, but not the area of doing right and wrong. And here, Klal Yisrael were being tested. This is the underlying principle of every test that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings to people all of the times. He will bring the opportunities, but whether the person will use these opportunities for greatness or for the lack of greatness, that's in the hands of the people. This is what Rashi says. He brings aim lohem el Elisa. Your job is to go. So now you must go forward. In Pasuk Yutes, it states, Vayisa malach alakim, haholech lifnei machne Yisrael. The malach, the angel of Hashem, which was going in front of the camp of Israel, went, vayelech machareihem, and went to the back of the camp. Vayisa amud ha'onan mibnehem, and the cloud, which was in front, vayamayid me'achareihem, went to the back. What does this mean? The Chazal explain, Rashi brings. By day, there was the onon, a cloud, which led Klal Yisrael. This was the Anan Hashem, the cloud of Hashem. When it became dark, that cloud would be mistalik, would remove itself totally, and a fire would take its place. So there would be light for Klal Yisrael. This evening, we're speaking here, just as it's getting dark, because they caught up to them towards the evening of the seventh day, like we said. The cloud removed itself from the front of the camp, but did not remove itself completely. Instead, it went to the back of the camp. Fire came to the front of the camp. The back of the camp was the cloud, and that was between the camp of Yisrael and the camp of Egypt. And therefore, it served two purposes. That there was no light for Egypt, because there was just cloud which was causing darkness. And also, it served as a shield. Egypt was throwing all types of arrows and balestrios. These are missiles, ballistic missiles at Klal Yisrael. The cloud would shield all of this and catch it. And this is what it states in the next posuk. In posuk Chof, Vayovay ben machane Mitzrayim uvein machane Yisrael, the cloud came between the camp of Egypt and the camp of Yisrael. Vayhi ha'onan v'acheshech, there was cloud and darkness. Vayora es halayla, and the night was lit up. Rashi explains cloud and darkness to Egypt, but light to Yisrael because the fire was in front. And the two camps, therefore, did not come close to each other the entire night. Next pasuk it states, "Vayet Moshe Shodoy al Hayom." Moshe lifted his hand over the sea. The simple meaning would be with the staff. "Vayolech Hashem es Hayom beruach kodim azor kol alaylo." And Hashem moved the waters with a very fierce eastern wind the entire night, until all of the waters were swept to the side. "Vayosem es Hayom lecharova," and he made the sea into dry land. "Vayiboku hamoyim," and the waters split. This at Moshe stretched his hand. This was HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him. This is similar to what we said before. Because even when it came to the splitting of the sea, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would help split the sea. But he said, "You have to do it." He told him, "You must take your staff and put it over the sea." Had he refused to do so, the sea wouldn't have split. This that he brought, an eastern wind. Why did he have to bring a wind? Why couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu split the sea without the wind? He's splitting the waters and he's making such miracles already. So Hashem should just decree, let the waters be swept to the side. Why does he have to bring a wind to blow the entire night, which will move the waters to the side? The answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the nature, is Shemer, the Teva. He guides the nature. The nature is his. He created it. And it's his shliach. It acts on his behalf. And even on the rare occasions that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will totally change the nature, like we find here, he will only do it as much as possible in a limited fashion. Again, he will work through the nature. So rather than just have the sea split, the waters move with no physical cause for it to move. Now, he will manipulate the nature so there will be a physical cause which will cause the waters to move. Therefore, he brought the eastern wind, a fierce wind, to blow against the waters the entire night. Why the eastern wind? The Chazal tell us, Rashi brings, because the eastern wind is the fiercest of all of his winds. And he uses this when he wants to come up against his enemies. States, "Vayiboku hamoim." The water split. Rashi brings, the Mechilta says, "Hayam leinemar." Doesn't say the sea split. "Ela hamayim." The water split. "Mikan sheboku kol mayim shebaolam." All of the waters in the world split at that time. With this we can understand why it states that shomo amim yogozum. All of the nations of the world heard about this. They all trembled when the spies came into Jericho, into Jericho, and they went to Rochav. They wanted to know the situation of the land, if they'll be able to conquer it in the days of Yeshua. Rochav said, "The land is yours. Lokomu Ruach Be'ish." The spirit of all men are broken. They have trembled with fear. They are melting with fear because they heard of the Kriyas Yamsuf. Yisra also states, "Vayishma," he heard. And he came by Yovai. What did he hear? He heard the Kriyas Yamsuf, the splitting of the sea. How did they all hear of this? The whole world knew of it. Because kol mayim sheba olam. All of the waters were split. Why was this necessary? This we'll see a little later on. From the fact that it states, "Velikorav ze'azeh kol alaylo," that the two camps did not come next to each other the entire night, And it states that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the eastern wind the entire night. We see this was a whole night, a whole night's episode. This was not something that took a few minutes, because the camp of Egypt caught up to the camp of Yisrael. This was in the beginning of the seventh evening. And we see that the cloud was about to remove itself, and it always removed itself as darkness came. So it started at the beginning of the evening. And it was an entire night. It states a little further, Vayavo b'nei Yisrael b'seich hayom b'yabosha. Klal Yisrael went into the sea, but which was dry land now. Incidentally, the Chazal tell us, it states they came into the sea, which was dry land. If it was dry land, it's not the sea anymore. That they went into the sea. The waters would not split until Yisrael went into the waters first. Then did it split. And the water became a wall to them, on the right and the left. In other words, evidently the wind had created a path in the water. And Egypt pursued them and came after them, all of the horses of Pare and all of the chariots, into the sea. And when it was the Ashmores Haboker, the Ashmores Haboker, Rashi tells us, is the last third of the evening. The evening is divided up into three thirds. In other words, 3-4 hour periods. And the last third would be, if it's an even day, which it was at this time of year, this took time during the Pesach time, the last third would be from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m. So from 2 a.m. to 6 a.m., Vayhi Bashmores Haboker, Vayashkev Hashem El Machne Mitzrayim Ba'amud Esh Ve'onon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gazed down, and he saw the camp of Egypt, and he saw them between the cloud and the fire, and they were also in the seabed at that time. Vayoham Esh Machne Mitzrayim. He shook up the camp of Egypt. And he removed the wheels of their chariots, and their chariots became stuck into the mud of the seabed. And Mitzrayim said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is fighting against us. And Hashem said to Moshe, stretch out your hand again on the sea, and the waters will return over Egypt and over the chariots and over all their captains. Moshe stretched out his hand again over the sea, and the waters returned as the morning was coming, Lifnais Boker, to its original strength, Umitzrayim Nosim Likrosai, and Egypt was so panicked that they actually ran into the enormous waves and torrents of water that was coming down upon them. By Naher Hashem es Mitzrayim v'soch hayom, and as all the waters crashed down on the Egyptian armies, HaKadosh Baruch Hu totally shook up the armies of Mitzrayim. Vayashuv ha'mayim ve'yachasu esorecha ve'saproshim וכל חיל פערי הבוים האחריהם ביום ליני שר בהם עד אחד. And the waters came and completely covered the chariots, the captains, all of the armies of Pare that were coming after Israel in the sea. Leinishar behem ad echod. Not one remained. Actually, there's two interpretations in Leinishar behem ad echod. Even one didn't remain, or only one remained. There's one opinion that Pare was saved to tell the story. According to that interpretation, that will be also how people knew about it. Now, we see that this took place during the entire night. So what was happening during the entire night? Because in the beginning of the evening, one camp had caught up to the other. And the waters And the waters, it seems, only split later. It says one camp didn't touch the other camp the whole night. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought this wind, which blew the whole night. And he didn't only return the waters when it was close to morning. So what was happening the whole night? The simple explanation would be, is they were shooting their arrows and their missiles at Klal Yisrael, but nothing was happening because the cloud was catching it all, and they couldn't see. So it was at a standstill until finally the water split, and then they saw Klal Yisrael go into the seabed, and then they followed. And then, when it came close to morning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe to stretch your arm over the sea again, and the wind stopped, and the waters returned until morning. This would be the simple explanation. The Mechilta says, Magid HaKosuv Eimed lo hayochel leishiv, leishiv lo hayochel lamed, Perek that the darkness that was on the sea was like, because it states that there was onon v'cheshech, darkness for Mitzrayim, that was like the darkness of Egypt. And that darkness was so thick that it had vayomesh, amamoshes, it had actually a mass to it. And it enveloped them to the point where they couldn't move. That's the same thing that happened here. They were frozen the entire night until they were allowed to run into the seabed. Because the darkness was so thick, if they were standing, they couldn't sit. If they were sitting, they couldn't stand. If they were loading their chariots, they couldn't stop. And the same thing vice versa. And it's a very good logic to say this. Why? Because all of the makos, all of the plagues lasted 7 days. The plague of darkness only lasted 6 days. It states in the Chazal. It was 3 days and then 3 days. So the Chazal asked, what happened to the seventh day? The seventh day was on the sea. So it would be the same type of makah, the same plague. What happened when they came into the sea, Rashi brings from the Chazal, just looking for it here. Rashi brings Amud Onon Yered, the Eise Seiketit, the pillar of cloud came down and it made the seabed into mud. A cloud is full of water, made the seabed into mud. Amud Eish Mashichai, and the fire came down and cooked the mud. B'talfei Suseyam Mishtamteis, and the hoofs of all of the horses would slip into this mud, and this is what happened and the riders fell. And then there was a great panic on the sea. Vayoser es efen makaveisam mikeach eish nisrafu agalgalim. The fire came and burnt the wheels of the chariots. Vamarkeveis nigrores. And the chariots halted, came to a halt, and started to be dragged. Vayeshvim behem noim. And those that were sitting in were torn and thrown from side to side. Ve'ivorein misparkin. And they were just torn apart. Vayenageu bechvedus vanogo shehikveda v'kosha lehem b'mini shemodadu v'yichbad liboi hu v'avodov afkan. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu drove them with heaviness. This was in retribution to the heaviness of heart and slavery that they gave Klal Yisrael. And then Nosim Likrosai Shayam Homamim Umetorofim Barotin Likrasamayim. When the waters came crashing down, they were so confused and panicked that they ran right into the waters. Vainayar Hashem Koodam Shemanayar Esakdera. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu shook up the armies. This was like a person who has a container of water and he shakes up the water from bottom to top. This is how HaKadosh Baruch Hu shook them up. Olin v'yordin u'mishtabrin b'yam. They were going up and down in the waters until they became broken. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nosan behem chiyus chayos lekabel ha'yisurin. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them life. He didn't allow them to die immediately. In order that they should be makabel the Yesurin, they should feel all of the pain, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu's judgment is perfect. If someone does a mitzvah, he must repay him. Someone does an aveira, he has to be repaid. These were cruel Egyptians. They had caused long suffering and torture to Klal Yisrael. They had to be repaid. Then states of Bnei Yisrael Hocha Vayaboshim B'Sei Chayom V'Amayim Lehem Chayma M'Mina M'Mismo'olam. Klal Yisrael went through the seabed and the water were walls for them. And on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saved Klal Yisrael from the hands of Egypt. And Klal Yisrael saw Egypt dead on the shores of the sea. They were washed up to the shores of the sea. Vayar Yisrael esayor agdola, asher osa Hashem b'Mitzrayim. And Yisrael saw the great hand, Hayad Hagdola, which Hashem had done in Mitzrayim, by Yeru Ames Hashem, and the nation feared Hashem, by Aminu Bashem, Uvemesh Abdoi. And they believed in Hashem, Uvemesh Abdoi. Here we see two things. First of all, it states Vayar, they saw. Secondly, it states the Yad, the hand. Till now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's acts were called the Etzba, the finger. By the Makas, the plagues, the Chatume Pare, the sorcerers of Pare, said Etzba Elokim. It's the finger of Hashem. Here it's referred to as the Yad, the hand of Hashem. Why? The Maral asks this question, and we'll see in a few minutes why. Secondly, it states Vayar, they saw. What does it mean they saw? They came to enormous heights. when they saw these miracles. This is what our Chazal tell us. A simple handmaid came to greater visions at the splitting of the sea than the visions of our greatest prophets, Yecheskel ben Buzi. This is what they saw. And then they came to the level of Shira, Ojo Shir Moshe, where they sang out Moshe b'nei Yisrael to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is a background as to what took place on the seventh evening of Pesach. The simple reason why the splitting of the sea should take place on the seventh evening is as mentioned. This was the Gemar Shichru. This was the final point of the Shichru, of the freedom from Egypt, because until then they were still in danger. The simple reason is, as mentioned, because they went out for 3 days. Paro sent scouts with them. On the fourth day, the scouts started to return to tell Paro that they're not coming back. It took them a day to get back. It took them a day to catch up with Klal Yisrael. So therefore, they caught up with them on the eve of the seventh day. This would be the simple reason. Also, why was it that the annihilation of Egypt was through water? Again, we will have a simple explanation as mentioned, because Mida Keneged Mida. They judged our people with water. They said, Kol HaBene Yelod, HaYelod, HaYorita Tashlichuhu. You should throw every son into the water. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judged them with water. And that's actually what Yisro said when he came, when he said, Ki Bigdvar Asher Zodu Aleihem. What they wanted to do to you was fell upon them. But there's a greater depth in this. Because firstly, we do not only see that the destruction of Egypt was in water, but we see also the greatness of Klal Yisrael came out through water. It wasn't that just HaKadosh Baruch Hu came and threw them into the ocean, but he created a Kriyas Yamsuf, a splitting of a sea, to bring Klal Yisrael to enormous heights, where they could go through the sea. Another question would be, it would be half sufficient to throw them into the sea. But why was it necessary to split the sea and call Mayim Sheba Olam? It states, Vayiboku HaMayim HaYam LeNemar. The sea didn't split, but all of the waters in the world. Why was this necessary? In order to understand this, and this is in accordance to the Perushim, the explanations from the Baral, we have to understand the nature of the sea. The nature of the sea is different from everything else that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created. HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a number of physical elements which serve as the foundation of the physical world. In all of them, though, we do not find that they are limited to certain space, but rather they have the freedom to travel wherever they can, as long as there's not an obstacle. If the obstacle is removed, they will travel further. For example, take light. The light will go all over the world. There are no off limits to the light. You take heat, cold, travel wherever it can. There are no, wherever there is heat, it'll go. There's no off limits. Even the rains. Basically, there are no off limits to the rains. Some places get more rain, some places get less, some places get a lot, some places get a little. But you can't say that there are certain places that the rains are not allowed to go. You take air. Air travels over the entire world. We can create an obstacle for it. The same thing with wind. Winds will go over the whole world. Fire. Fire will go over the entire world. Let a fire burn, it'll burn. It could carry on burning. We can place a shield in front of it. But remove the shield, it'll carry on. All of the elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created to become the foundations of the physical world, he set no limits. And they spread evenly all over. Not so with the sea. The sea has its limits. The sea is the source of all of the water in the world. And it has its limits. It has its own place. And this is the place of the sea. Other places, it's out of bounds. The sea has no permission to go there. These other elements live together with man, not the sea. Man doesn't live in the sea, and the sea doesn't live on the land. But when it comes to all of these other elements we mentioned, they live together on the earth with man. The Yishuv, what is referred to as the Yishuv is the land which was set aside for man, and therefore that's the major settlement of the world. All of the elements have a place there, but not the sea. The sea has its own place. And it's a world by itself. Because the sea is full of life. Enormous numbers of life. But it's Chutzla Yishuv. It's not where man lives. It's Bikzeya Olam. It's the edge of the world. And it's not considered part of the Yishuv, part of the settlement of man on this earth. There's a Balaturim in Parsha Shmini where the Torah is telling us the type of animals we can eat. Those that we cannot, mentions there the animals, one place, another place, it mentions the domesticated animals and the wild animals, mentions the birds, mentions even the sharotzim, those type of reptiles and creeping animals. Names are given to all of them. All of those who are listed there. When it comes to the fish, there are no names given to the fish, only the signs. The Balaturim says, why? Lomalei niskrosh mais hadgei v'chayos hayom. Why doesn't the Torah give the names of the fish or of all of the creatures that are in the sea? The sea is full of creatures. We don't even know what's in the sea. They're always discovering new creatures. Why? Like he did, Eitzel Behemus v'chayis v'efes v'shorotzim. And he answers, Lefi shemachusin min b'nei odom ein lahem shemas. Because the sea is not only at the edge of the world, it's entirely concealed from man. And therefore, we do not give them names. He says, they have no names. I don't think he means they have no names, but as far as Odom is concerned, they have no names. There's a similar moral in principle, where the moral writes, he says, an animal, when it eats chita, you have to shecht two simonim. You have to shecht the food pipe and the windpipe. The bird, when you shecht, you only have to shecht one simon. either of the food pipe or the windpipe. Why? Because the animal is more part of the central part of the world, of the earth. And therefore it has a stronger life, and it requires more shechita. The bird is more removed, therefore only requires a partial shechita. The degei hayom, the fish, are entirely removed, and therefore they do not require any shechita whatsoever. And this is a similar principle. It's chutz letchum. It's beyond the gvulim, beyond the area which was given to man. Now, why is it like this? And we see this also. We see this because man goes almost wherever he wants on the earth, wherever he wants to settle. But he can't live in the sea. He can cross the sea, but he can't live in the sea. And, like the sea, is another domain. The answer to this is the sea itself, the creation of the sea itself was given a keach hamalchus, was given a power of kingship. And ein shnei malochim mishtamshim b'mokom echot. Two kings cannot rule in the same place. All of the other elements that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, they weren't rulers. So they make peace with man and they live together. But not the sea. The sea was given a power to reign. And if it was given a power to reign, you can't have two kings reigning over one medina. One medina, one state. And therefore the sea was given its own state and man was given its own state. They can't mix. On what basis do we say this? In the beginning of the creation of the world, it states in the second posuk, sohu bavohu becheshech al penei tahom, that in the beginning the world was empty, there was voidness, there was darkness, depth. Beruach Elokim arachefes al pnei hamoyim, and the spirit of Hashem hovered over the waters. See, here we see that this is the beginning of the creation, and the spirit of Hashem hovered over the waters. We see there was water. Later on, Rashi brings in Pasuk Tes, Vayom Elokim yikov ha'mayim mitachas ha'shemayim al mokom echod v'seiroya ha'yabosha. Hashem said, let all of the waters gather together. Let all of the waters under the heavens gather together in one place in order that the earth should be able to be seen. Vayihi kein. Vayikor Elokim le'yabosha eretz ulimikvei ha'mayim kore yamim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu called the dry land Eretz, the earth, and the gatherings of water he called the sea. Now what was going on? Rashi explains in Pasuk Tes, Shtuchin hoyu al panei kol lo oretz. In the beginning of creation, the waters had covered the entire earth. Bikovem beukainis hu hayam agodol shebochol hayamim. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu told all of the waters to gather up in one place. And they gathered up in one place, which is called the Ukainus. That was the great sea. And all of the waters in the world are connected. They all come from that sea. In the beginning, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had created waters before the land. Before the land was by itself. And the waters were higher than the land. And the waters had freedom to roam over the entire earth. and they ruled over the entire earth. But in the third day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yikovu Amayim, all the waters must move, and they must gather themselves up in one place, in order that there should be the Yamim and the Oretz, one separate from the other. The Medrash tells us that this created a little problem, because the waters didn't want to do this. They said, why? Why are you pushing us away? Let us reign over everything. And they said, you created the world to praise you. Kol Masha Brosi Lichveidi Borosi. Whatever I created was for my honor, Hashem said. We will praise you. As it states, Mikeles Maim Rabi Madirim Mishbereyom, that from the great crashes and thunder of the waters, Emrim Adir Bamorom Hashem, they declare that the greatest power is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So they said, let us rule, and we will praise you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no. He says, no. Why? He gave an example. An example of a king that conquered a land, and he filled the land with people that were mute. And every day, the mute people would praise the king, they would wave flags at him, they would clap their hands. One day he got the idea that if this is what mute people can do, how much more so if he will bring in pikochim, if he will bring in wise people? So he brought in wise people. So the same he told the waters. You can praise me, but man can praise me even greater. And therefore, Yikovu Amayim, you have to set a step aside, V'seiro'e hayabosho, in order that there should be earth, so man can live. And this is what it states, Min garoscho yonusum lemayim, go'araboy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to shout at the water to flee back, to go back. Because the waters didn't want. They were given Keach HaMalchus. They were given the right to reign in the beginning. For 2 days they reigned over the entire world. No king wants to give up his throne. They were forced. This is what David HaMelech writes in Tehillim, in Borchi Nafshi. Gvul Samto Bal Yavorun. Kodesh Baruch Hu drew a line. And he said the waters are not allowed to step across it. Bal yeshuvun lechase so oretz, lest you return to cover the earth. Notice it states, bal yeshuvun, lest you return. What does it mean, return? To cover the earth? Because they were given this malchus. For 2 days they reigned and they covered the entire earth. And now you're forcing them back. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, this is your gvul. He made the sand, the barrier. This is your gvul. You're not allowed to return to what you were. This is why we find that if you go to the sea, you'll see the sea always wants to come back on the shore. Never stops from trying to come back al oretz, because that's where it was. But it comes up to a certain spot, and then it goes back. These were the gvulim. Now, because of this, man and the sea can't live together. It's not like the other elements. And therefore they have to have the mokam hamayim lechud, they have to have their own place. There, they're the kings. Man can't live there. And the Yabosho. That's why the Pasuk states, that Sheish Yomim Asa Hashem Es HaShomayim Ves HaOretz Ves HaYom V'Kol Asher Bom. 6 days HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the heavens, the earth, and the sea. Well, why do we say the sea? We should just say the heavens and the earth. Why the sea and everything that's in it? Because that's a creation by itself. There's the heavens, which is above. There's the earth where we live. And there's the sea, which is the domain of the sea. They do not mix. It's the domain of the sea and everything that lives in the sea. Now, we see two things. HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the sea to destroy his enemies. And we see also that the greatness of Klal Yisrael came out from the sea. Now, firstly, in regards of using the sea to destroy his enemies. The sea was only agreed. The sea only agreed, though, to move back. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that you can praise me like you do. It's the greatest praises in the world almost. That you come and you see the sea, the wondrous sea, and it praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Adir Bamonam Hashem. This is a great covered honor to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can praise me, but I have someone that can praise me more, and that's Adam. So on that condition, the sea moved back. But then the Medrash tells us what happens when this king brought in all of these. He brought in the wise people to replace the mute people because they could praise him more. And the wise people were so clever, they decided that why should we praise the king? Let's rebel and take over the Medina ourselves. So they went, they made a coup, and they captured the palace and they exiled the king. What does the king do? The king regroups himself, goes back, he drives out all of the clever people, and he said, bring back the mute people, because they will praise me better. I won't have to worry about being overthrown. Kodesh Baruch Hu said that when man will fall from the level of praising me, then you have a right to come back. The Midrash says that's why at the time of Noach and the Mabul, man fell. Kodesh Baruch Hu said, let the waters come back. The Dor Enosh, Hashem also brought a flood, let the waters come back. And this is why he destroyed Paroi with the waters. If you notice, actually, the waters and man, even though we need water, but we're talking about the raging waters of the sea, they're actually zeh keneged zeh. They're mishnagdim zeh lezeh. They're contrary to each other. So we mentioned man cannot live in the sea and the sea can't live on the earth. You can't have both. You can't have the sea and people living together. And not only that, the sea destroys man to the point where he totally eradicates him. It states vayimochu. Vayimochu, this was at the time of the Mabul of the flood, he erased man. The greatness of man is the tzuras ha'odom, the tzelem elokim, the image of Hashem. And this comes out on his face. And the sea destroys man where he's totally erased from that. So man can hold his own against the sea as long as he's a man. But when he falls from that level, the waters came back. This is why HaKadosh Baruch Hu used the waters. He uses the waters to destroy his enemies and here by Paroi. But what does this have to do with the Geulas Yisrael, with Klal Yisrael? This was another level. This was not a question of allowing the waters to come into the Oretz, which was man's domain. This was another step. What happened at the Yam Suf, at the Red Sea. Man was given the power not only to hold off the sea, but to push the sea out of its own place that was allocated for it. Man invaded the sea, pushed it away, and went into the sea's Medina. Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, raise up your staff. Through this he brought a wind that blew the entire night, and it blew the waters away, as long as necessary. When it was no longer necessary, then the waters returned le'esonai to their original strength. The reason for this is because the sea, the waters, agreed. We will stay here. You create the earth for your man, and one will not bother the other. But that was Adam HaRishon. That was the first man. And he only was commanded in 6 mitzvahs. Later on, an additional mitzvah was given to his offsprings. All right, that's a sea agreed upon. But there was another type of man to come onto the world. And that was one that would receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and be commanded on 613 mitzvahs. That man, the sea said, we're no match for. To that man, we will bow to. We will enslave ourselves. And when necessary, we will move aside. And at this point, when Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim, they rose to that height of Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Amzu go'alti, amzu konisi. Amzu go'alto, amzu koniso. This nation I have redeemed, this nation I have acquired, they are now my nation. They are now, they are, lakachti lachem li lelakim. I will take you as my nation, and I will be your God. And they were on, where were they going? They were on the way to Har Sinai. In that case, the waters had to part. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I didn't create the world for the fish. I didn't create the world for the waters. I created the world for a great man. And for the destiny of that man, that you have to bow to. This was the level that Klal Yisrael came to at the Kriyas Yamsuf. And this is why it took place on the seventh day. Because the seventh day is the entire cycle of the creation of the world. And what happened at that time was the equivalent of the creation of the world. Klal Yisrael was coming to a height which was even greater than that of the sea. This is why it states, Vayiboku kol mayim sheba'olam, all of the waters of the world split. Because here what was happening was not only the sea itself, but the entire waters of the world, the entire waters of creation, had to move aside when they saw Klal Yisrael coming. Yes, we moved aside for Adam, for the first man. He was given domain over the Yabosha, over the dry land, and we were given the domain over the sea. But for this type of man, now we have to even move from where we are. Actually, we find, and this is what the Remeir says. The Remeir in the Medrash, see the Medrash of the Mechilta, says, why did the sea split? La'odim yachidi osisi. Yam li abosho, shenema yikov ha-maim, l'das kedoshim alachas kama v'kama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if I made the waters move aside for a single man, and that was Adam HaRishon, the first man, because the waters were shtukim, they had spread over the entire world, le'edo kedoshim, for my own nation, which are kedoshim, which are greater than the first man, how much more so will I make the waters move aside? And therefore he shouted at the waters again and said, now you even have to move further aside. And we find this happened in other places. Not in at such a great level, but we do find it, for example, in Parshas Vayishlach, Yaakov Avinu said, this is in Perek Lamed Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Ki b'makli ovarti es hayad einazer. With my staff, I crossed this Jordan River. Rashi brings from the Chazal, Nosan maklei b'yardein v'nifko hayardein. I put my staff in the water, and the water split. By Yeshua, when Yeshua was taking the nation across the Yarden, also it states. And we have another place. It says, by Reb Pinchas ben Yoyah, there's a Gemara in Masechta Chulin, the Gemara brings and of Zayin Omer Aleph. Reb Pinchas ben Yoyer, he was from the great Tanoim. Havoz lepidyon shfuyim. He was going to redeem a captive. Pogabe Ganoi Nara. He came to the river of Ganoi. And he couldn't cross. The river was raging. Omele Ganoi Chaluk li memecho ve'evor boch. He told the river, split, so I can cross. Omale, the river said, Ato heilech lasis v'tzein konecho, ve'ani heilech lasis v'tzein keini. You are going to fulfill the will of your master, and I'm moving to fulfill the will of my master. Ato sofek eise sofek iata eise, v'ani vade eise. By you, it's not sure if you fulfill it. How do you know you'll be successful? But by me, for sure, I'm being successful, because the master has told me to run my waters. Omale im iato cholek. Guzrani alechag sheleyavar boch maim leolam. Pinchas ben Yoyah says, if you will not split, I will decree that you will never have water in your riverbed again. Cholakle, it split. Now this was the same, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world for man. Which kind of man? A man that's a great king. Tzelem Elokim. The man that went to Har Sinai, the man who was Mekabel Torah, Taryag Mitzvahs, the man who rises above everything in this world. And therefore the world is here to serve him. He's not here to serve the world. And the world, the physical world, is merely the shliach, the emissary, the messenger, the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if man rises up to where he serves HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then the world becomes his servant. And it cannot stand in the way of him doing the will of Hashem. And therefore, Reb Pinchas ben Yoyah demanded that the water split. And all of this is a great Kiddush Hashem. This is a sanctification of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name. Because it's not splitting because of Yisrael themselves. It's splitting because Yisrael is the nation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the servant of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when they live up to that level, then the world is prepared to serve them. If heaven forbid they fall from that level. Now, on that the waters said, we never agreed. And the waters come back. The Maral says, for this reason, he feels, that's why Yisrael are called Ivrim. We have the name Ivri. Ivri, where does it come from? Ivri. It's an old name by Avram Yat. and by Yosef, Ivri Anochi. And there is a Medrash, it's Maramis this. He believes this is the name that was given with future from the word Ovar, because it will be Israel that will be Ovar Ayam, go through the sea. The going through the sea gave a name to Klal Israel, that they can rule even over the Malchus, the empire of the sea, where the world was divided. Half the world was given to the sea and half the world was given to man. But they can push back even those waters. Now, one final point. In the Gemara and the Medrash, there are different versions, different opinions as to just how the water split. And one version is that there was a quarrel going on. As Klal Yisrael stood by the raging waters, and they didn't know what to do, and Moshe told them, Hashem said, Yisrael, go ahead, go into the sea, and then he will take care of you. There came a machlekes, a quarrel. Most of them pulled back. But Yehuda said, I'll go in first. And Binyamin said, no, I will go in first. And they started to fight. Yehuda wanted to go in first, the tribe of Yehuda. And Binyamin said, no, I will go in first. Go in first. They started to fight. Now, why Yehuda and why Binyamin? We see two things in common. One thing in common between Yehuda and Binyamin. From both of them came kings. Yehuda was the king. He was the Aryeh, the lion. The lion is the king. And from Yehuda came David HaMelech and all of the lineage of the kings of Israel. From Binyamin also came kings. From Binyamin came Shaul, King Saul. And Mordechai was Mishnah LeMelech of the mighty Ahasuerus. And Esther, who was a queen over the world. And also Yosef. Yosef is not from Binyamin, but Yosef and Binyamin were Ben Zugais, Bnei Zugais. They were a pair. They were the two sons from Rochel. And they were linked together in many, many things. And Yosef became a mighty king over Egypt. Mighty king. So we see both had kings. Yehuda wanted to go into first. He was itching for a fight. Because he's the lion. The lion doesn't back off for anyone. So everyone backs away from the lion. Nobody, the lion doesn't back off for anyone. And when he roars, he's letting everybody know that. He's not a king, a low-profile king. And not only that, it states by Yehuda that Yehuda had two sons, Peretz and Zerach. Zerach or Peretz. The lineage of the kingship came through Peretz, not through Zerach. And actually, Zerach was supposed to be born first. The midwife had tied something around the hand of Zerach, because he was coming out first. And all of a sudden, Peretz pushed him out of the way, and he came out first. And she said, Ma paratzto, oh, Peretz. Paratzto means to burst forward. Why did you burst forward? You were supposed to come out second. Now Cain Korosh my Paratz, and that was his name, Paratz. And the word Paratzto, that was used by Yaakov, or Paratzto, means to burst in all directions. It states that's the sign of a king, and of the type of king Yehuda. It says Yehuda Peretz Geder. Melech Peretz Geder. It says everyone else has to keep to the highway. A king makes his own highways. He's not limited. When Yehuda saw the water standing, and he told the water, split, because Klal Yisrael is going to Har Sinai. The water said, no. This is the boundary. On that side is yours, this side is mine. Yehuda said, Melech Peretz Geder. A king breaks through boundaries. And therefore he was itching to go and break that boundary. And he wanted to go first. Binyamin, also kings, but a king of a different nature. By Binyamin, we find there was Shekhinah. The territory of Binyamin, in the territory of Binyamin was the Mizbeach and the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the most holiest parts of the Beis HaMikdosh. In the territory of Yosef was Shiloh, the Mishkan. By Binyamin, it states, by Binyamin it states, Yedid Hashem Chefef Olav Kol Hayom. Yedid Hashem, he is the endeared one to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu hovers over all of the time. And by Yosef we find that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, its state was always with him. Wherever he went, Shekhinah was with him. The Shekhinah is from the HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the higher worlds that comes to stay in this world with us. The physical world is the lower world. The Shekhinah has the power to override anything in this world. That's why it states, a Mishnah novice, that Asor Nisim Nasu Lavisenu Bebeis HaMikdosh. On a regular basis, 10 miracles used to take place in our Beis HaMikdosh. A miracle is something which is contrary to the physical nature. But the Beis HaMikdosh is where the Shekhinah is. The Shekhinah cannot be limited by the physical nature. Binyamin were the ones that brought the Shekhinah down. They said, we can be matke, we can push the waters back, because we represent the Shekhinah. And therefore there was a quarrel there. Who should go in and push the waters back? As they went in, though, there's different versions as to who went first. But they said, Hashem yimloch le'olam va'ed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should reign forever, which meant that we are going in for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if we're going in for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and He rules over the whole world, therefore everyone, all powers have to step aside. Therefore Klal Yisrael went through, and this is why they were Cana, their Shichru, their freedom, happened on the seventh day, which is parallel to the entire creation of the world, the whole 7 days of the creation, and all of the waters. So the waters were used as retribution against Pare and his henchmen that had fallen, but at the same time they displayed the power of man, who rose even greater than the waters by moving aside. This gives us some insight into the Kriyas Yam Suf, the splitting of the sea. We should all be zeichet to have a Chag Kosher V'Sameach, a very freilicha, good Yom Tov, a good Yor, a kosher Pesach. All of the best.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226 Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.